Can you believe it's the first day of 2025 already? Man, the last year go by fast. It just flew by, didn't it? The older you get, the quicker it goes too, I think.
Yes, definitely.
A bagpiper who plays at many gigs was recently asked by a funeral director to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was at a pauper's cemetery in the backcountry of Kentucky. As he was unfamiliar with that area, he got lost and, as a typical man, did not ask for directions. He finally arrived an hour late and saw that the funeral guy had already left and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There was only diggers and the crew left and they were eating lunch. He felt bad, apologized for being late, went inside the grave and saw that the vault was already put in place. And not really knowing what else to do, he just started to play. The workers put down their lunches, started to gather around. He played his heart and soul out for this man with no family or friends. He played like never before for this homeless man. As he played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept. He wept. They all wept together. When he finished, he packed up his bagpipes, began to walk away. Though his head was hung low, his heart was full. As he opened the door to his car, he heard one of the workers say, "Sweet Mother of Jesus, I ain't never heard that, anything like that before, and I've been digging septic tanks for 20 years.
Oh,
I know.
Where are you?
That's a god-awful poopy mess.
Could be.
And we're off.
So, question. There's your news one. There you go.
That was better than some of the ones you had last year.
So, question. How many of you say you're a little bit, let me see, relieved, glad even that last year is over? Anyone?
Amen.
I know it was difficult for a lot of people. You know, it's just something, there's some challenges and stuff. And my prayer as we start out this new year is that this message today would speak to your heart and even bring an application to your life. We're going to start in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. God will speak to the people of Israel. And if you read through the whole chapter, he had laid out a lot of promises and great things that he did and some incredible, powerful promises. And one thing that God said that I believe can still apply to us today is found in the 18 and 19 verse. Verse 18 says this of Isaiah 43. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Mm-hmm. Some of you today, the Holy Spirit is going to just specifically speak directly to you. He's going to ask you to let go of, forget some of the things that have been holding you back. There are some things you have been holding on to that are from your past that He wants you to just let go of. And it said, "Do not dwell on the former things." In other words, the things of the past. And he continues, and God says this in verse 19. "See, I am doing a
new thing.
Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And I believe that God may speak to you and let you know that He wants this next year to be better than last year. He wants you to see the new thing in this new year. And some of you have been faced with circumstances and situations that last year that honestly challenged your faith. And you have said to yourself, if not out loud, "I don't know how in the world I can make it through this.
Preach it, Pastor.
It's bad and I don't see a way." But I'm here to tell you today that God can make a way when there is no way.
Give it to us.
He can He can see what you can't see. He's got the big picture in line. And see, I'm doing a new thing, he said. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So let me ask you a question. Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions?
No.
Anybody?
No. Oh. We know better.
You know, I mentioned last week I had a couple of goals I wanted to do and stuff, but do you know what they call the second Friday of January?
Quitter's Day.
Because almost half the people that made New Year's resolutions give up on those New Year's resolutions by the second Friday of January. Yeah, is that something? See, the problem is for a lot of us, we have what is called good intentions. But may I propose to you that this year, instead of having just good intentions, we have some God intentions.
Ooh, preach it. Give it to us.
And there's a difference. Many of us have good intentions. Some things that we want to accomplish, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with setting goals. I set some goals myself this year. I want to read a couple books a month. I want to do some other things. I want, you know, there's things that I've planned out. The top five New Year's resolutions for 2025 are probably the same as they have been in the past, but here they are. Number one, to save money, to save more money. Number two, to eat healthier. Number three, to exercise more. So I'm going to exercise more. So I right now, I do at least, I do on the average like four sit-ups or two sit-ups a day. I get for the morning, that's half. Go to bed at night the other half, but I take a nap in between the meals, so I got two in the day, so I got two in. So I'm going to try to do a little more exercise.
He's taking an extra nap.
Maybe take an extra nap. There you go. Well, my wife actually got me up one of those
box
bowling balls, so I got to sit there and, you know, try to do that too. So we'll see. But then to exercise more, to lose weight, which, by the way, exercise more, you probably lose some weight, and to spend more time with family and friends. And how many of those are really good intentions? Those are good things to do. That's nothing wrong with those things. But I want to challenge you this year to go beyond just having some good intentions. I want to challenge you to have some God intentions. What are those? That's you simply just listen to the Spirit of Almighty God. And church, I believe He will still speak to us. He's still talking today. It's not, you know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes He speaks through His Word. Sometimes He might bring some of our life that speaks life into us. I mean, there's a lot of ways God speaks. Sometimes He, you know, prophetic word. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that God still moves and speaks to people. I believe He's going to speak to you. And He will show you one thing that He wants for you and or from you. And that's what I've called this message today, is one thing. One thing. And listeners, I believe that God wants to do a new thing in this new year. I'm expecting God to do new things in this new year. And I really anticipate Him to do new things in your life, in my life. And in this new year. And the thing is that if we allow Him to do that in our lives, we will have a better year than last. Not that this from last year, not that you, but I think, you know, we all have areas that we could improve on. Amen. My prayer is that the Spirit of God will show you one thing, that instead of having just good intentions that are me-centered, we have God intentions that are God-centered. Because, and this is important, when God bursts something in you, it will come about. And some of you are pregnant to propel with potential and promise. And I want you to know that. No, I need you to understand. I not just want you to know. I need you to understand that God does not abort His promises.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, I'm doing a new thing, he says. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you four one-thing questions. And my prayer is that God will birth in you one thing, one God-centered thing that will make your life different this year than last. So the first one thing question, if you're taking notes, is this. In your prayer life, in your prayer time, is there one thing you are seeking God for this year? What one thing do you desire from God? Above all else, if God was, you know, that genie gave us one wish, and he does so much more than that, by the way. He's not a genie, but he just don't rub any cups out, but he does answer prayer. So if there's that one thing that you needed, if God would say there's one thing I'll do for you when they ask, what is that you would do, go to the throne of grace for this year? 1 John chapter 5 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, Lord, let me win the lottery. That may not be His will. Okay? I mean, it might be, but it may not be. So you don't blame God if you don't. But whatever. According to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So if we ask anything, it says that we've already got it. It's ours. It's there. That's a good promise. Amen? In Psalm 27:4, David was described as a man after God's own heart. You know about that, right? David in Psalm 27:4 asked for a few different things, but they were all closely related to what he asked for. And perhaps the reason that he was, you know, called a man after God's own heart was because he desired one thing, and that is what he desired. Look what he said in Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord just on Sundays.
Always.
Just when I feel like I have a good day. All the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. David said, all I want to do, if I could do anything at all I want to do, if I could have one thing, he says, I just want to be with God. I want to know Him deeply. I want His presence. I need His goodness. I need to know that He is with me. Always. If there's one thing that I need to know, in the good times and especially the bad, it's God. If there's one thing that I desire above all else, he says, is to dwell, to live with the presence of God. So church, what one thing do you desire of God? Some of you might be at a place in your life where you know someone's a non-believer. And you say, I want them to come to know Jesus. I want them to come to have a relationship with God. So maybe your one thing is to pray for them and that you might be a loving person to show them a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the driving force for your prayers this year would be for God to help me love that person in a relationship with you. And let me just say this. I heard a speaker this week, someone say this week, there are two reasons why people are not yet Christians. Two. You know what they are? You sure? One, they have never met a Christian. Is that the reason, right? Two, they have met a Christian. Two reasons. See, the truth is we can either help or hinder someone in their journey.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't know about you, but I want to be a help. I heard a pastor share a story of a woman that came to him and said she was being tormented at work for her faith. And she asked him, so do you have any advice for me? To which the pastor looked at her and said, I don't believe you. Yeah, that's kind of a response, huh? And then the pastor just sort of stood there and waited. And then she said, what? And the pastor repeated himself, I don't believe you. And he said, let me just clarify, I'm not calling you a liar, because a liar is with an intentional, you know, an intent to deceive. I don't think you're intending to deceive. She says, what do you mean? He says, I just think you're being tormented at work because of your faith that you have in that place of work, but you're absolutely not. And she said, what do you mean? And the pastor went on to say, you mean to tell me that at your place of work, you're the first one there and the last one to leave, and that you have the highest amount of work ethic and the lowest amount of laziness, the highest amount of integrity and of compassion, as well as the highest amount of generosity, that you're in the best, you're the best peacemaker in your whole place of work, that you turn the other cheek and go the extra mile, you give your tunic and your cloak, and you regularly and steadily put other people in front of yourself, and people don't like you? I don't believe you, he said again. She said, so what's happening? What's happened? Teresa, pastor said, well, I can only guess. My guess is that you're at your place of work, you've turned Jesus into an argument to win instead of a life to love and demonstrate. Ouch, that would hurt. Two reasons why people are Christians. One, they've never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. So, if this is the one thing the Holy Spirit speaks to you about someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus, and they're telling you, just make sure you don't want to be here. Let that be your driving force in your prayer life. Just do it with the right spirit and the right attitude, because you might be the only Bible that some people read. For others of you, maybe there's an addiction or stronghold, and that's the one thing that is keeping you from going further with God. You can say, maybe this isn't just my New Year's resolution. This is my God burden. And that you will no longer let this one thing hold you back from pursuing the God that loves you so much. And you're saying, if there's one thing, God, I believe with all my heart that you're the Holy Spirit is going to give me is the power to overcome this addiction, this stronghold that I've been holding on to. That one thing that's in the way of my walk with you. I'm going to, instead of letting it get the best of me, I'm going to walk in my identity in Christ, and I'm going to overcome. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor.
Thank you, Jesus.
And maybe you're looking at your marriage and thinking, you know what, it's just not where God wants to be, it's not where I want to be. Let me say this, it could be that the one thing that God wants you to do is change your heart so you can heal your marriage. So if your driving force in your prayer life might be that you want that stronger marriage that you desire to have. And some of you may not be married. And all your friends are getting married. You love them and you hate them at the same time. And you're thinking, oh. And for you, that one thing might be just the Lord let you be enough this year. And let you be, and I need you to be that friend that sits closer than the brother. And here's the church. I'm not saying that don't date. I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. But for some of you, maybe your desire for finding the match made in heaven has hindered you from seeing the match that God has. Maybe it's hindered you from experiencing the Father in heaven. You pursue relationship with people more than relationship with God. And again, nothing wrong with good relationships. As a matter of fact, they're vital. Amen. I've got some really close friends. I can call on the phone and just, you know, lean on and say I need help, and you know, they're there. I mean, I've got those friends that six close and brothers. And so they're vital. Relationships are vital. Relationships are something God desires us to have, but not at the expense of not knowing Him. Right. Nothing is more important than having a good relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And what one thing do you need from God? What one thing do you desire from God? Maybe you desire what Solomon desired. God one time came to Solomon and said, Solomon, anything you want, you can have. What do you want? Solomon could have asked for a bucket load of money. He could have asked for good health. He could have done anything. He said, Lord, I just need wisdom to know how to lead your people. And God gave that. God gave wisdom and everything else too. And so, church, listen, I've done that. There's been times in my life I just needed God's wisdom. I had no clue what to do with situations, circumstances, with the church, with life, with work, with things go around me, how to counsel someone, and I needed wisdom. So I looked through the wisdom book of Proverbs. I prayed, and I remembered the promise God made when He wrote this in James. Next one. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should go to your pastor.
Yeah, that's it.
He's got a lot of wisdom. But
after you go to God.
Yeah. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God will give you wisdom. Now, sometimes that wisdom comes by going to your pastor or a friend or your coworker. Sometimes that wisdom happens through that situation. But ask God to give someone, bring someone to your life or give you direct instruction of what to do. And listen, I've done that. I've had to go to wisdom. And when I did that, do you know what He did? Time and time again, He gave you wisdom. That situation, that circumstance, that problem that I had. Excuse me. Second question I want to ask you is this.
I want you to ask yourself.
I want to ask yourself is this, the second question. When it comes to your relationship with God, is there one thing, can you give me some money? Is there one thing that you feel like you're lacking, you're missing? When it comes to your relationship with God, is there one thing you feel like you're missing? In Mark chapter 10, there's a really good story about a guy that comes upon Jesus, a rich young ruler that comes upon Jesus. And let's begin in verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17 says this. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. Amen. What do you got to do? This is how Jesus responds. Verses 18 and 19. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud on your father and mother. And that guy proudly says, check, 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 and check. I've done all that. Look at it. Next verse. Verse 20. Teacher, he declared, all these I've done since I was a boy. I've done it all. I get it. Eternal life. Woohoo! It's mine. And then Jesus does something that He'd never done any other time. He looked at the outward obedience of this rich man and looked at his heart. And Jesus looked at his heart and He saw something this rich man did not even know he didn't have. And Jesus said to him something that He'd never said to anybody else. It's found in verse 21. It says this. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He already did that. He did look people up. But He said this. One thing you lack, He said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus looked at him and said, one thing, not two, not ten, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Have treasure in heaven. After you do that, come follow me. If there's one thing that's down the way of your completely following Jesus, and for this guy it was his thinking of security and his wealth and his life that he had, all that, and that material possessions that he had. Jesus said that one thing is in the way. Sell it all. Come follow me. And verse 22 gives us a little bit of a glimpse into how He responded. Look at it. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Think about that a minute. And we sometimes just pass over these verses like they're just verses, but think about this. This man had been told by God himself exactly what he was lacking. He said, I can't do that. God specifically showed him the one thing that was lacked. He was unwilling to do that one thing. That, by the way, would have benefited him spiritually a lot more than you could have even known. It wasn't that money was bad. It's not that money is bad. It was the fact that his money was keeping him from relationship with God. Scripture tells the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And I wonder how many times God has spoken to you or to me and has shown us one thing that if we were to do it, if we were to sell it, would propel us to our destiny. God wants to do a new thing in this new year in you and through you. I believe that with all my heart. And maybe God's telling you less TV, Facebook, or games, and more of his word. That would be your one thing. I don't know. Maybe it's less gossip, more prayer. That would be your one thing. I don't know what your one thing is for you. But what is that one thing you lack? The third thing, and this is really a close cousin to what I just talked about. What one thing do you need to let go of? What one thing do you need to let go of? What one thing do you continue to hold on to that holds you back from where God wants to take you to? There were about 170 women in the Old Testament, mentioned either by name or alluded to in Scripture. But how many did Jesus ever tell us to remember? Any ideas? One. Any guesses? It's found in Genesis 19, verse 26. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you the story. But in the middle of a dialogue that Jesus is having with some about the end times, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. The only thing we know about Lot's wife is her name. And we know that when the angel said, don't look back, she looked back and turned to pillar of salt. That's all we know about Lot's wife. That's all we know. It's like God was saying, don't look back at the thing I'm burning down. Don't look back at the thing I'm finished with. Don't look back at the thing I'm delivering you from. Don't look back. I want you to look forward to your future. Lot's wife looked back and got stuck in a place that she was only supposed to pass through. Her attachment to the past was greater than her commitment to the future. She wanted what she was having more than she wanted what God had for her. And church, I'm afraid too many of us are still clinging to that thing. Clinging to what is instead of what could be. Stop wanting what was. God is saying, put it down because I've got something new for you. This new year. Stop looking at your old. Start moving into the new. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 3, he was talking about how he wanted to know Christ. Not just about him, but truly know him. So he tells us this in verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Oh, it sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, from Isaiah? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm forgetting what is behind. I'm pressing on. I'm making one decision. I must move forward. Honestly, I don't know what Paul was letting go of. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know, but maybe it was the fact that he realized he gave the go-ahead to stone Stephen. Maybe he realized I was a persecutor of the church and I had to let go of those things. Maybe the fact of the pain he experienced as a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, five times he took 40 lashes. Not just was he whipped, but also three times he was beat with rods. Three times he was shipwrecked. And maybe he's just going through all that process and he's wondering what the heck's going on. He was stoned. And left for dead. Not like recreational, by the way. It was like real stones. And left for dead. Perhaps just saying, I've got to let go of all of that and move forward. I can't live regrets my past. And maybe some of you, that the reason you are not moving forward to where God wants you to be is because you're holding on to something from the past, and I'm here to tell you, it's time to let it go. You can't live in the regrets of yesteryear. It's time to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called of me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Someone hurt you and you're holding on to it, and it has caused bitterness and unwillingness to forgive. You're struggling with that unforgiveness. And God would say, I want to do something new in you, but you can't hold on. You can't dwell on the past. Forget what's behind you and press on. So you failed at something and you're wrongly believing that you're a failure because of that thing you failed at. But look at the truth. The truth is this. Something just happened. That's not who you are. Let me say that again. Something happened. That's just not who you are. You let yourself down and you think, you know what, God's not that. God's going to hold up against me. Church, I get it. I've let myself down more times than I care to even count. I've done that. I wanted to fast and for a day or two, and then I saw that cookie. I was going to read my Bible and pray for an hour, but then it was 20 minutes because all of a sudden distractions hit me from all corners. Scripture tells in Proverbs, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. See, the whole idea is to rise again. The enemy will try to get you to focus on the failure, on the mishap, on the sin. But I'm here to let you know it's a new day. It's a new year, and God is doing a new thing. Let it go. Press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God isn't holding it against you. So don't hold it against yourself either.
Sorry.
What is the one thing that you need to let go of so that you can become all that God wants you to become? The fourth question is this. What one promise do you need to claim? What one promise do you need to claim? In the Old Testament, David, he was a man about 15 when he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king over Israel. Samuel comes by looking at all Jesse's sons, and he's like tall, dark, and handsome. Nope, that's not him. Oh, really? Talented. Nope, not him. Strong. Not him either. And he went down the line, all of them. After looking at the boys, thinking that one of those has to be the one. I mean, they're all like, they fit the part. They look good. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so after going through all the boys and hearing the same thing over and over going, nope, not him, nope, not him, nope, not him. Samuel says, Jesse, is there any others? And Jesse says, well, there's the runt of the family. There's the runt of litter. But he's just, he's out taking care of the sheep. Surely that can't, I don't think it's him. He's like the least of the brothers. And they call for David, and God says, I don't look at what man looks at. I look at the heart. And that boy right there, that's the next king. To everybody's surprise, including David's, I imagine. And there was a promise that God had made, that God gave to David. And some of you, you've had a promise. God has shown you a vision for your future, and it's not coming about. You're wondering, God, where are you? You showed me what you wanted. You showed what you had for me. You showed me something special, but that special isn't coming. And that's exactly what happened to David. As soon as he's anointed the next king over Israel, every time David had some victory, every time David had some great happen, there was Saul coming after him, trying to kill him. Destroy him. Take him down. And the whole time he could have been thinking, oh man, God, I just don't see it. I know the promise. I saw it. I was there when you did it. I know the promise. I know God in my head it's there. I know the promise, but I just can't see it. David, anointed as king at 15, didn't become king until 30. But how many of you know we walk by faith and not by sight? There was one particular time where David was running from the Saul who was trying to kill him. And by the way, that's not a good thing when the king's trying to kill the future king. I mean, it's not really a good thing to have happen right then, is it? Yeah. So David decided it'd be a good idea to hide among the Philistines, which he thought, you know, that's a really good idea. I'll just go hide among the Philistines. David, you know, Saul took over from me there. And what you need to realize was that this is after David had already killed Goliath, who, by the way, was a Philistine from Gath, where David went to. So it turned out that good idea wasn't such a good idea. And you can read, if you want to read the whole story, it's found in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 21. But he got himself really caught between a rock and a hard place. And it didn't seem like anything was going the way he wanted to, that should have. And basically, here's what he said. There are so many things I don't know right now. There are so many questions that I can't answer. So many details that are not going the way that I wish they would. But then later on, that same David writes this in Psalm 56. The very moment I call you the Father's help, the tide of battle turns and my enemies flee. This one thing I know, God is on my side. I trust in the Lord and I praise Him. I trust in the Word of God and I praise Him. The one thing I know, God is on my side. The enemy's coming after me. I don't know what to do. It seems like I've been going 3 steps backwards and not forward. And I'm scared. And I don't know what is going to happen next, but this one thing I know. God is on my side. God is for me, not against me. He says, I'm trusting in God and His promises. David's like, this one thing I know. There's some things I don't know, but I know this. God is for me, and because that one promise is true in my life, that if I don't see anything else, I want to see that is enough. God said it. I believe it. I'm standing on the promises of God. The one thing I know, God is still on the throne, and He is for me. Joe, would you come and give me a chance? Some of you God has already has, and for others, He's going to give you a promise. Hang on to it every fiber in your being, because it will sustain you like food sustains your body. It just like food nourishes it, just it will nourish you. He'll carry you when you are weak. This one thing I know, 2 Corinthians 1:19 and 20 says this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is the one whom Timothy, Silas, and I have preached to you. And He has never been both a yes and no. He has always been and always will be for us a resounding yes. For all God's promises find their yes fulfillment in Him. And that's His yes and our amen or ascend to God. We bring Him glory. When we just say, God, You said yes, I believe it, we bring glory. Let me give you a few promises mentioned in Scripture. What promise do you need to claim? Here's a few for you to try out. He has plans for you, plans for a hope and a future. He has promised eternal life to those who believe. God promises in His Word to meet every need you have according to His glorious riches. He promises that you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. What that means is this. For those that continue to struggle with sin, guess what? There's a way out. There's a power through Christ to help you overcome the temptation and sin that grips you. He has made you more than a conqueror. And I love this next one. God promises to forgive all your sins. If you're hurting today, if you're hurting, and the way the past has just bogged you down, that feeling of I did it, I shouldn't have, I can't, I regret, I feel the shame of doing it. Guess what? It's forgiven. God will cast His sin forgiveness and you'll remember it no more. More. God promises to make everything, even the bad things, especially the bad things. God promises to make everything work together for good for those who love Him and are calling according to His purposes. God promises if you feel alone or abandoned, that He will never leave you, He'll never forsake you, He'll be with you forever. God promises to be your ever-present help in trouble. He promises to guide you and give you direction. He promises to give you a peace that goes beyond your ability to understand. What that means is that when you're going through hell and everyone's looking, they're like, how do you do that? You go, I don't know. But God said He helped me, and He has. God's faithful. I don't know what's happened. I don't know why I can't feel some peace in the midst of this storm, but God promises to give you power to defeat Satan, to overcome the work of the evil one. You resist him and he will flee from you. God promises that nothing will separate you from the love of God. I mentioned this already, but let me say it again. God promises you that you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. There are a bunch of things I don't know, but this one thing I know. God is with me. God is with you. What one thing do you desire from God above all else? Let it go, and press forward. What one promise do you need to claim? Forget the former things that dwell in the past. For God, who is a good God, who is with you now, He is doing a new thing. So, Father, we come to you in prayer. God, I thank you. God of new beginnings. And in this year, this new year, we receive that new thing that you have for us. God, I pray that you would give us the power to change that one thing for your glory. Help us to cling to the promises, for we know that they are yes in Christ Jesus. Everything that you've called us to do. To let go of the things that we need to let go of too. Walk away from things you've said, enough. Let it go. So often we just want to say, we cling like we give you the praise, and the church said,